Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Father Humbert Kalinowski, Reverend Brother Norbert Kelleher, and Brother Hyacinth Grubb. Let's begin, as we always do, by invoking Our Lady. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
So today, I think we had decided that we wanted to talk about the personal life of Christians, specifically with regard to the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. You know, that these are virtues which are primarily aimed at God, and yet also are about, relentlessly about, personal relationship.
Right, and that's something you often hear a lot in the context of evangelical Protestantism today. I remember when I was in high school youth group, our youth directors were sort of warning us against the sort of tactics about, and basically try to keep us involved in the Catholic faith and make sure we don't fall away during our college years. And they always told us to be on our guard about those who ask, well, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And personal relationships with Jesus Christ is not something we really talk about a lot as Catholics. And so it may be easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, this is something new. Well, maybe they're offering something that I didn't have before. But we do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We do accept him as personal Lord and Savior, even though he is the Savior of the world. We all have our own sort of personal appropriation of how we live our lives in according to Jesus' offer of salvation.
And this is, of course, the language we use instead of personal Lord and Savior. We actually talk about the relationship with the whole Trinity in terms of personal relationship through a discussion of the virtues of faith, hope, and charity.
And just as a review, those are the virtues that are given to us in baptism. Those come already with the water that's poured over us to cleanse away original sin, to make us part of the family of God. And there's no other way outside of grace for us to receive this direct connection to the Holy Trinity. God has to give that to us in order to know who he is through faith, to hope in being joined to him, and to share in the love that makes up his own substance. He has to give that to us.
If you've ever wondered about, do you have the possibility of faith, all you have to ask yourself is, am I baptized? I mean, I do. I work with RCA for most of period of my priesthood, and you know, it's not to say that faith, the grace of faith, cannot come to people outside of baptism. In fact, of course, you sort of need a prevenient grace to bring you to the baptismal font, you know. Mm-hmm. So faith is growing in you, but the manifestation of it and the certainty of the reception of it are seen in one's own baptism, as you say. So,
and just another reminder, this is something that people often get mixed up. The theological virtues are called theological because they're aimed at God. Right, faith is about knowing God. Hope is about hoping in God and what he does for us. And love is about loving God. They're all supernatural and come from God as well. And so sometimes people think that they're called theological because they're given to us by God, but they're actually called theological because they're aimed at God. That's the object. That's the end. That's the whole goal of these, is to move us towards God in a particular way.
And it's all about relationship with persons, you know. So, I mean, in addition to theological virtues, you have the natural virtues or under the heading of the four cardinal virtues. They say justice is one of them. So in a relationship of justice, I'm focusing mostly on rights and responsibilities, but not necessarily a personal relationship. I don't have to have a personal relationship with a person who's giving me a mortgage.
Right. Justice does direct us in our relationships toward persons, but they're not directed to the persons themselves. Like even what we call a potential part of justice. So the virtue of religion regulates our relationship to God, like the actions that we take in maintaining a relationship with God, like coming to Mass every Sunday. That's an act of religion, an act of justice toward God. But it has to be driven, it has to be fueled by theological virtues, which are actually directed toward God, and rather than simply our own actions toward our actions toward God.
And because justice has so many different aspects to it, our daily life is complicated, and as well as the other cardinal virtues, it becomes easy as a Christian to worry more about the variety of things we have to do rather than thinking about how charity and also faith and hope shape the entire Christian life so that everything is ultimately aimed at God.
This is the theological term for this is they say that charity is the form of the virtues. Charity shapes every other virtue, shapes every act of our life. And insofar as we love God and we're oriented towards him in a life of grace and a life given to us supernaturally through Jesus Christ, and especially through the sacraments, charity shapes every single aspect of our life, every single, you know, act of prudence, something that we do well, every act of justice. They're all, informed by charity.
To take one example, St. Therese famously said that if you pick up a pin off the floor for love of God, you can save a soul. And this is a small act of justice in the community, especially if they're a Carmelite community that's discalced, so they don't have as much foot protection. They might need to be protected from this pin. But if love is directing this action, then it can serve a higher purpose at the same time.
So I've often thought also in terms of, you know, you can appropriate the virtues to the various persons. This is some of the games I play.
Yeah, to draw parallels. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, draw parallels. So, I mean, in one sense, if faith is about truth speaking, and the ability to hear and the truth that Jesus reveals is the truth that the Father speaks to him for revelation. So there's a sense in which I think the Father and faith is connected. There's a sense in which the Son especially, as he becomes man for our sake, becomes an object of hope for us, you know. And then the Holy Spirit, who is, sometimes talked about as the bond of love between Father and Son, teaches us how to love the Father and Son and also to love each other, who are made in the image and likeness of God, who are made for charity, who are made for personal relationship with each other.
That's a very fascinating connection there, and a good way to draw the parallel between these groups of three, the persons of the Holy Trinity and the three theological virtues. Because, as you mentioned, faith is about revelation. It's about believing in God, and the mission of Jesus' life is to reveal the Father and so that he can become known to us. So connecting faith to the Father, I think, works very well that way. And then hope is in God's mercy. It's in the act of redemption, and Jesus, our Redeemer, God the Son, makes hope possible. And then we have charity within our souls. That means that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, the gift of love that's given to us.
And in this way, faith, hope, and love also apply to how we see each other, that we need to be able to understand more than just the natural level about our neighbors, people we live with, people in our church, people we work with, because they, in faith, are really sons and daughters of God, at least potentially. They could be baptized. They could be brought into the fold. In hope, they are really part of God's plan for our lives. He's given us these specific relationships for a reason. And in love, we love them as a fellow member of the family of God, for the sake of God, in God, just as we will in heaven.
And this is not so much a matter of affection,
right,
or human warmth or emotional connection. This is, we're on the spiritual level, so we're talking about meaning, purpose. This is spiritual steel we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a very important distinction to make, because just the way the words faith, hope, and love are often used in everyday speech. I mean, we sometimes use faith as a synonym for belief. Like, so whatever I believe, well, that's my personal faith, or I have faith in this person that they'll do good for me. And hope, of course, is also the name of an emotion. Hope means that there's some good that's actually attainable. But theological hope is much more than this, because it's hope in being redeemed by God, hope in being eventually in the company of God forever. And love, well, I mean, I don't even have to begin how the word love has been so misused.
Well, English is I mean, I've said this before. I think you speak English a lot enough, you'll rot your mind. But, you know, I mean, I love my wife. I love my God. I love my brother. I love my dog. I love Russian literature. I love chocolate ice cream. These are all the same relationship?
I don't
think so.
I hope not.
I don't think so. So, you're listening to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio today by Father Humbert Kilinowski, Reverend Brother Norbert Kelleher, and Brother Hyacinth Grubb. And we've been discussing the personal life of Christians in the theological virtues. So we had just finished, I think, resuming a little bit about charity and the spiritual level and where we're dealing with it.
And the way in which these really form the core of the Christian life, faith, hope, and charity, they're always available to us. We don't have to go to some specific place. We don't have to do some great act, but we can make an act of faith or make an act of hope in whatever situation we're in. We can allow all of our actions to be more and more shaped by love. And this is really what we want to take away from our life. At the end of the day, we want to be able to say, I grew in these three virtues, because they're the most valuable possessions we have.
And the ones that form the bonds of personal unity between not only ourselves and the Trinity of life, persons of the Trinity of life, but also with the other persons whom God has joined to our lives by placing them before us as objects of a charity that we learn first from our love of Christ, his Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. In these ways, we in our own souls, we can mirror the relationships between the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Because the only way we know, we can tell the difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is how they're related to one another. So the Father speaks the Word is the Son, so he generates the Son by speaking the Word, and then the bond of love that flows forth from the Father and the Son, that is the Holy Spirit. St. Thomas Aquinas has this beautiful expression that the Son is not just any Word, but the Word that breathes forth love. And when we are baptized, when we are initiated into this relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we enter, in a way, into this same relationship by which the persons of God are related to one another.
I think it might also be helpful to go through and just examine the sort of progression through these virtues, too, right? Because, you know, there are three things, you know, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And so faith is first, in a way, right? Because before you can hope or before you can love, you have to know.
Right, you can't love what you don't know.
You have to have an object of hope, an object of charity.
And then hope is next, as it sees God's saving action as applied to ourselves, right? In a way, hope is almost not selfish, but a little bit of that sort of, it's about God's action as it works in our life and our hoping that God can and will save us.
Right. So hope is desiring God as the highest possible good that we could ever attain.
Yeah. But neither of these last in heaven, right? Faith is the belief and the certainty of things unseen, and we'll see God in heaven, so there's no faith in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, hope is about attaining some great good, and the theological virtue of hope is about attaining the good of our salvation with God in heaven.
Which we don't have now.
Right.
Which we don't have now, and once we have it, we won't have hope because we have that.
Yeah, we'll have
that. Yeah. But charity lasts, and
right.
So that's
that union of persons.
Yeah, and that's the one that mm-hmm. Exemplifies the life of heaven.
Right. Yeah. And it changes everything. You know, even natural virtues get changed. We tend to talk about charity as if it's identical with benevolence, another difficulty of our common language.
Right, but it's a different fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Well, and benevolence can be a human, I can feed a beggar because I would feel pretty awful if I was hungry. So, and I can do that as a simple matter of humanity. But if I serve that person because they are loved by Jesus Christ, because they are a child of the Father, because, you know, they are potentially bound to me in the power of the Holy Spirit, if not actually, then I'm referencing that relationship with this person with my relationship with the Holy Trinity. And that's authentic charity in a way that the simple benevolence is not.
Right, because charity means we're seeing other persons as created in the image and likeness of God and mm-hmm. acting out of our love of God that flows into love of all other persons. Now, we keep saying these words person, like having a personal relationship, seeing them as persons. But that's a word that often gets thrown around a lot today. Like there are debates over what it means to be a person.
For instance, you could say, oh, a person is just a floating ball of consciousness.
That's a popular definition these days, actually.
Whatever is aware of itself.
Yeah, but consciousness, that's still an action. Being aware of oneself is an action. It's something we do. But a person is more than just what we do. A person is what we are. It's in our very nature to be persons. As our human nature, we are created in the image and likeness of God because God is one God in three persons. Person means we have this rational nature, and that means we are individuals that are able to think. We're able to know things. We're able to think abstractly, and we also have the ability to love, to choose things freely. We have free will. So these two things, by thinking abstractly and knowing things as they are, and by choosing freely, and love, of course, is a free choice. We have to choose to love someone or something. These are what make us persons. It's not just things we do, but things we have the capacity to do because of who we are and really what we are.
It seems almost that, and you can stop me here, brothers, I guess you're still in the schools, but one thing that is interesting is that it would seem in the light of the gospel that person also has a notion of a destiny to immutability and immortality, rather.
Right.
Because yes. If you're a person, whether you're angel or man or human being, you seem to be called to an eternal life, either with or without God, according to, as you say, in charity, you give yourself. If I give myself or I don't give myself, that's a free choice. But in any case, there's a destiny beyond it
right.
that never stops.
Our soul is, in fact, indestructible.
Right. And that also distinguishes us from other beings which are, in one sense or another, in relationship with the Creator, but not persons.
Well, let's not forget, angels are persons too.
Right. Well, I said that.
Yes.
I just wanted to call attention. Right. Angels are people too.
Angels are persons, but animals are not, because they don't have the immortal soul. They don't have these sort of immaterial abilities to think abstractly and to...
By nature, yeah.
Right.
In some ways, it can be easy to envy animals because they attain their happiness much more easily than we do. If you look at a cat curled up in a ball sleeping on the windowsill, it's very content. It's already achieved the highest happiness it can. I have to work a lot harder to get to my final end, which is heaven. But really, that form of happiness can't be compared, because we're talking about living with God, the very Creator, whereas an animal like a cat or a dog or a deer,
squirrel,
can only have a very simple form of happiness.
Right, and even though it's able to understand its surroundings and act based on what it senses, it doesn't. It cannot think abstractly like we can. So that's. I was doing some research on the origins of the human species. It was a major research project I was working on during my last year at the House of Studies in Washington. And what defines a human being is the ability to think abstractly and to choose freely. And how can we determine this? What are some indicators of abstract thought? Well, the best indicator we have is using language, which abstracts ideas. So we can think of concepts. Like we can think of we see things in the world. Like we see trees all around us, and we can think, well, this is a tree, that's a tree. They have something in common that is the nature of a tree. That's an abstract idea of a tree, which we can think of independently of any actually existing tree. And we can even think of things that we can't sense, like truth or justice. These are abstract ideas that we can think of, but animals, even with their stronger senses, like dogs and cats, for example, they have stronger senses of hearing or sight than we do, but they
can't abstract from the sensate experience.
Right, and they can't come up with words to represent ideas like we can. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we can connect with animals on an emotional level, because we're also animals, but we can't really have a personal relationship with an animal.
We can substitute relationships with animals.
We can try to substitute.
Right. Yeah,
but it's not the same thing.
Right.
But to go back to the angels are people too, what that means is we can have real relationships with the angels in our life too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like to remember that guardian angel prayer we learn as kids, you know, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love gives me here.
You know who had a great devotion to the holy angels was Pope John Paul XXIII. Mm-hmm. Now, he used to say that when he had to meet with foreign heads of state as pope, he would ask his guardian angel to get in touch with their guardian angels and smooth the things over, you know. And I do think that there's great power in that. You know, that's one of those devotions which are part of the church that maybe we don't appreciate. I mean, there's a lot of strange things going on. I mean, I would not presume to give somebody a name that had been revealed. Guardian angel or my angel is sufficient for my purposes anyhow.
I mean, the very name angel is about an office, a messenger.
Right, messenger.
And so saying guardian angel, focusing on the task that God has given mm-hmm. them is appropriate. We shouldn't try to stretch beyond that to a personal mm-hmm. name we haven't been given.
Yeah, you get into a curiosity which is not healthy about, I mean, the Lord will tell us about the angelic world insofar as we know too. Going creeping out there is not a good thing given the spiritual dangers.
But it's good to remember with guardian angels, we often think about their power, but we should also remember that they love us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're a person. So they have, in fact, a greater love of charity than we do. And a reminder of this for me was looking at Fra Angelico's painting of the Last Judgment, where at the resurrection, these angels are affectionately embracing the people that they guarded during their life. They're welcoming them into heaven with hugs and hands on the face, and in a very tender way, showing their happiness at being together forever.
And the next logical consideration is to talk about the real friendship we can have with the saints, you know, who have a humanity like ours, and who in glory can be a great comfort to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my own experience of devotion to the saints is, you know, they're good spiritual friends and will come out for you when you need it, you know.
Yeah, that's an important thing to remember, because charity is not only the highest kind of love, but it's the highest form of friendship. It means friendship with God, because God has given us this great gift mm-hmm. to be no longer slaves but friends. And if we're a friend of God through charity, and if the saints are friends of God, then but that means that we're also friends with the saints. Mm-hmm. If we're a friend of God, then we're a friend of everyone who is a friend of God. That's how charity works.
Friends share things with each other.
Right.
So oftentimes you'll find a synergy between your own life and life experiences and a saint. You know, I mean, I remember one woman I remember talking to. She went on a pilgrimage with me to Ireland. She'd been baptized Catholic, but not raised Catholic, so she was getting ready to do her confirmation. So in the course of our trip, we ended up going to visit St. Gobnet of Ballyvourneen, which is one of those Irish
saints. Not a household
most of
name.
You, right. No, exactly. That. But Gobnet was also did a spiritual journey. She started in the Iron Islands. God told her to find the place of her resurrection, that is the place where she'd build her monastery. He gave her a vision of 9 deer grazing. So she starts heading east towards the rising sun, who is Christ. She finds a partial fulfillment of it, 3 deer grazing, makes a right-hand turn, because you always turn to the right. You don't want to turn too sinister, right? Mm. You turn to the right, sunwise. Now she's going south, 6 deer grazing she finds. She turns again, goes to 9. She ends up at Ballyvourneen, little mining in the mining village, and builds her monastery there. And she's a great saint, protector of the people, wonderful. Anyway, but the interesting thing was my friend was interested in this story because she also was searching for God and kept faithful to the direction. So this became a great friend of hers. And, of course, for her confirmation name, she had always been having a problem with the communion of the saints coming in from Protestantism.
Right.
But this experience of her taught her Gobnet is a friend, and she took the name as her confirmation name.
There's a priest, a wiser than I, who said that when we have some sort of especially some sort of like unexplainable affection for a particular saint, that's because that saint really has an affection for us.
Yeah.
It's with them first. They're reaching out to us. They're supporting us with this, you know, sharing the spiritual goods, and there's a real affection and friendship and relationship built up there with the saints that we can have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The saint is building a real personal connection to us, so that it ties into our personal relationships that we have, not only with the three persons of the Trinity, but with anyone who's a friend of God. So the saints and the angels who watch over us and want to bring us into their company as well. It's we have a lot of persons to be connected to.
And we all walk into heaven with our scars healed, you know, as friends one another. The only one who bear scars is the one who bore the cross for us. So, and that's a beautiful thing, I think. So, thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. I've been joined today in the studio by Father Humbert Kalinowski, Reverend Brother Norbert Kelleher, and Brother Hyacinth Grupp. It's now finished in prayer to the founder of the Dominican Order, as is our custom. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen. St. Dominic,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,